Hey, what's up? It's Avery here. Well, I guess who else would it be? It is my own show. You see, my show is on platforms like iTunes and Spotify, and you may wonder, how do I get my show on these platforms? Well, I do it through an app called Anchor. It's free to download, and you can use it on your phone or on your laptop. And it also comes with creation tools that let you edit your show. You can also make that sweet moolah with your podcast with no minimum listenership. So, want to get started? Download the Anchor app on the Google Play Store or Apple's App Store, or go to anchor.fm. It's that easy.
Yo. What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. We are here back in, not Edmonton, back in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We had a guest on the show this week who I did a few Twitter Spaces rooms with very early in the morning at 4:30 in the morning for me while he was back out east. It is from the one and only Ben Steiner. You can find his work on 49 Sportsnet, Between the Sticks, Alpine Canada. There's a lot of good stuff out in Toronto and Vancouver.
Thanks for having me on, and it's always fun to come on at a bit more reasonable of an hour, because recording stuff at 4 in the morning, I know it's probably not going to be our best content.
You know, it was good chats, but dude, I had to bring every bit of strength that I had to be coherent at 4 and 4:30 in the morning for our Team Canada Women's Soccer preview show. It was a fight. It was a battle, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, it was worth it because that team went on to win a gold medal, and hopefully, even though we're not recording this one at 4 in the morning, hopefully this is worth it as well, because, of course, the Canadian men's national team is trying to beat some demons of their own against the U.S. tonight, which I know we're here to talk about, and then a whole bunch of other games as well, 12 games left after this U.S. one in the CONCACAF octagonal.
Exactly, yes, and this is a spot that Canada has been in for the first time in 25 years, and I watched the first game against Honduras at BMO Field, and I know they tied 1-1 even before the game just kicked off. It felt like watching a game on TV, watching the lead-up, watching a preview show, it felt different, because I said it right there, Ben, this is the first time a national team has been there in 25 years, and you look at this roster, guys like Alfonso Davies, Jonathan David, Tatum Buchanan, Kyle Larin. This is a team. This is the best team that Canada has had pretty much ever of our men's national team.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best national team that Canada has ever had on the men's side, because even if you look back at, say, 1986 when they qualified, the team wasn't good. The team sort of fluked their way to getting to the tournament. And then, of course, when they got to the tournament, they couldn't do anything there. I think if this team gets to the World Cup, they can actually do something at the World Cup. I was speaking to my colleague at Between the Sticks, Alexander Gonge-Ruzic, and he said quarterfinals could probably be the peak this team could do, because you go to the World Cup, if your guys are in form from their clubs, they come in, and the talent's there on Team Canada. It just needs the form, and I don't think they had that against Honduras. It was their first big high-pressure game in the octagonal, but this team is a good team, and I think if you actually get to the World Cup, this team will score a goal, which, of course, the 1986 team didn't do, but long way before we can have that conversation, because of course there's 13 games to go in the octagonal, have to finish in the top three, if not top four, and win a playoff game.
Exactly. That's very true. Yeah. The 86 team, look at that roster. This is a team that has proven that they can score more. We saw in the gold cup, this team was in the final four. This team gave fights to teams like Mexico, the USA. Canada being in the tournament now and just qualifying doesn't happen now. This Canadian national team has proven that they can win games when it matters.
Yeah, they have proven that. But, I mean, you also look at the Gold Cup this year, and there were a lot of A-minus teams and B teams. And, yes, Mexico sent their A team, and Canada really went toe-to-toe with them in the semifinal. But it probably would not have been the case if all of the teams were there and Canada was tested throughout the tournament before getting to that semifinal match. So I don't know how much you can really take the Gold Cup as in an indicator where Canada really is on the men's side, but you can take what they did in the first round of qualifiers. You can take that quite well. Yeah, you can't really take much from Aruba or the Cayman Islands and stuff like that. And hopefully Canada is past that stage of their football development where you're scoring 13 goals against the Cayman Islands. So it's much better to be playing nil-nil draws against Honduras than it is scoring 13 or 12 or whatever against Cayman Islands, Aruba, and those small Caribbean countries. But Canada showed well against Haiti, and there was a lot of worry going into the two-legged Haiti tie that Canada was not going to be able to push through. And Canada completely destroyed them and showed that they are a top team, because I don't think in another edition of the Canadian national team that they would go out and dominate Haiti in the way they did. But just as Canadian soccer fans in the Canadian soccer community, we were so expected to see Canada have a tight fight with Haiti. And yeah, Haiti didn't have their top roster, but Canada went out there and played them off the field. And that's something that Canada hasn't done for years, if ever.
No, that's a very good point. That is a great point, Ben. And of course, Canada's game against Honduras, that was a game in which the first half, just watch that first half, it felt sloppy. It felt like this team was a bit uncomfortable. We saw them give up that penalty, the opening goal. But, you know, the second half, this is a team that responded very well to adversity. They got the penalty. Kyle Aaron scored, you know. And this is the thing where, you know, game one, Canada has adversity. But Canada can't have too many more games where in the first half, they're kind of disjointed. It can't happen when there's so little time to get things right in a tournament like this, Ben.
Oh, yeah, you're certainly right. They can't be starting slowly, but in the end, it's what you do over 90 minutes, not 45, mm-hmm. right? So, yes, they can start slow, but they've got to pick it up in the second half. And they didn't do that against Honduras on the first night of the Octo. And against the U.S., I don't think you can really afford to start slow, especially defensively, because guys like Christian Pulisic will punish you. And I don't think Honduras has players of that quality. Well, I know Honduras doesn't have players of that quality. The U.S. is a very good team. I think they're probably the best team in CONCACAF right now. I don't think that's Mexico. The U.S. has won the Nations League and they won the Gold Cup. So it's pretty clear that the U.S. is the cream of the crop in North America and Central America. So definitely, definitely going to be a tough test for Canada. But Canada has talent as well. Yeah, Alphonso Davies might be tired. He was beaten up in that Honduras match. I was shooting that match. I was pitch side and Davies was getting pushed around. Really, the whole Canadian team was. So it might not be the freshest Canadian team. Maybe there's some rotation. You never know exactly what John Herdman's going to do. In the media availability yesterday, he was asked a question about the lineup and he says, I'm going to be tight-lipped about that one. Didn't even give us anything. And he usually gives something. He doesn't give much, but he didn't give a thing yesterday. So Canada, I assume they're probably going to rotate their lineup a little bit, because what you don't want to do is go into the El Salvador game, which is just in 3 days, with a tired roster, because that El Salvador game is probably the biggest must-win game of them all. A point against the U.S., three points against the U.S., that's all gravy. You're not expected to do much against the U.S. They're expected to finish higher than you. But after an opening draw, say you lose today, you have to get 3 points against El Salvador. Even if you win today, you have to get 3 points against El Salvador, because the U.S. got none and showed that the El Salvadoran team probably can't be taken easily. But there's a massive opportunity if Canada can at least stay level with the Americans today, say 1 point, and then go beat the El Salvadorans in that third match day of this window.
Of course, I couldn't agree more with you, Ben, on that. And, you know, you mentioned playing teams like El Salvador, like the USA. And the big thing for this national team is also, too, getting wins on the road. Because we know how hostile it is when you go down to Honduras, El Salvador, Costa Rica. You know, we know how those crowds are. And it's going to be a big test for Canada to get wins on the road, because that'll truly show what this team is. They can go into these stadiums all across these different countries and get wins as well, Ben.
Yeah, I think they're not going to get much of a flavor of that tonight, because the U.S., Alistair Johnson plays in that stadium. He knows those fans. So it's not going to be much of a CONCACAF away match tonight, but it's definitely easing them into it a little. They're going to play in front of 40,000 fans tonight. Yes. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere in Nashville, but it's not getting chicken carcasses and bags of pee thrown at you like you're going to get at Petra Sula. So it's going to be tough, but it's going to be a lot easier than it would be otherwise. I think this is probably the away game that might be the easiest for Canada to come away with something. The only thing, of course, is the opponent, and the opponent is not a bad team.
Exactly. No, you're very right on that. Going to the scene isn't that bad when you do have guys who play in MLS, who know the stadium, like Austin Johnson with Nashville, like, you know, it's not going to be that bad. We have MLS guys who are used to these stadiums. But yeah, when you go to Honduras, Costa Rica, El Salvador, you mentioned it there, chicken carcasses. You know, stadiums have fencing separating fans from the players. Bags of pee being thrown at you, which I think is disgusting. That happens, though, in these different environments outside of the U.S. So, yeah, it's gonna be a tougher test once you do get out of America in those facilities. And, you know, there's a team in which, you know, it came out recently, Ben, that scheduling known soccer personality Steven Sandor and Dwayne Rollins posted that there is a to be determined when it comes to Canada's game on November 12th against Costa Rica in terms of location. It's been rumored, not officially mentioned yet, that that game could be most likely in Edmonton. And I love that because I mentioned when Alex was on the podcast a while ago that I would want to see Canadian games being moved across the country and, you know, giving an advantage towards Canada because, of course, national team is primarily based in Toronto. But when it comes to finding an advantage, I feel it's definitely important that the national team plays in environments like in Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal, to get their own kind of advantage when you're playing the Costa Ricas, you know, Salvadors and Mexicos come this winter, man.
Well, I agree with you in some sense that I think it's great to I'm in downtown Toronto and there's a siren just going by.
No worries.
But I agree with you in some sense that it's good to have the matches spread across the country. That's fantastic. You get a lot of people following this team, and that's what Canada Soccer needs to grow the game in Canada. And I know Steven Sandor is quite passionate as well that the registration numbers have gone down in youth soccer. So move the team across the country, especially Edmonton. Alfonso Davies grew up there. So there's a lot of connections to places like that. And I think it'd be, you look at what Rugby Canada does and they move the games across the country and the passion for rugby in Canada has grown exponentially in the last decade. But I don't think there's much of a case for bringing the Hondurans or a team like that to Edmonton to freeze them. Because our players aren't used to that either. The Canadian players are playing in temperate climates in North America, temperate climates in France, hot climates in South America or Portugal. So it's not going to be a be-all, end-all by sticking them in Edmonton because Steven Eustáquio had never played a game in Canada. He's only played in Portugal. And he had never played for Canada in Canada, because when he committed, they were already playing home games in the U.S.
That's right.
So what is he going to think by playing in minus 10 in Edmonton or colder, right? So I don't think it's actually that much of an advantage, even for the players who maybe grew up playing like that, like the Jonathan Osorios of the world, because Jonathan Osorio hasn't played in that in years, right? So I just don't think the weather and sticking the Central American teams in a cold climate is really going to give them much of an advantage, but still giving the game to Edmonton or even Winnipeg or Ottawa, even really any other city than Toronto or Vancouver. And I do think Vancouver is going to get a few games as well in this octagonal, but just spread the joy around. There's so many high quality games that Canada's getting in this octagonal. So definitely spread it around, but the weather, I don't think, is a major factor.
Interesting point. And you know, that's a very valid point because you're right. There are players on this national team who have never played in Canada in this kind of environment, or you mentioned there, have not played in that kind of climate in 5-10 years. So yeah, that's a very valid counterpoint too, Ben. I was thinking more because we've seen the USA do it before. We've seen the USA do it, and it's worked to their effect where you've seen Team USA play before in Denver in a blizzard. But yeah, you're right, though, in the fact that a lot of teams that play on the Canadian roster have not played in that environment yet. But you know, hey, that's me being an Edmontonian with a pie in the sky mentality, that actually working out. So
I still think it'd be great to get a game in Edmonton as a great stadium there in Commonwealth for the Elks. So it'd be great to see, especially an Alfonso Davies homecoming in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if minus 20 and snowing is going to be exactly an advantage towards the Canadians.
Well, you know what? Hey, if the game does happen in November, I guess we'll find out, though. If it's confirmed that game against Costa Rica, I guess we'll see what happens because you never know. Never know what could happen with that game. And also, I do want to mention that we were both in Toronto a few days ago for an event. Derby Magazine had their kickoff party recently. And, you know, you've been involved with the magazine. And I guess, Ben, what does it mean to see now a magazine that is Canadian-based, teen writers that is telling stories that is really one of a kind right now, Ben.
Oh yeah, it's certainly one of a kind. And if anyone listening to this doesn't know what Derby Magazine is, it's a Canadian soccer magazine that comes out every couple months, and they're on issue one now. They had issue zero. This one's about 100 pages. Some very, very talented writers and probably some of the best photographers in Canada, especially on the sports scene, come together to put together this publication. And they officially launched this week in Toronto. Major credit to AK and Tagwamoyo, who sort of started this thing, as well as Mitchell Tierney, Awaking the Red. And just a fantastic guy involved in Canadian soccer for a while. But speaking to Tagwa, whose idea was to start this, he saw that there wasn't really in-depth storytelling about Canadian soccer. And yes, there's a bit of attention on the national teams or a big CPL game, but there's not Waterloo United feature stories. And that's in this issue of the magazine. So I think it's fantastic that Tagwa and the crew have started this. And I should have a piece in the upcoming second edition of the magazine, but certainly exciting. And I'm so proud to know these guys by launching the magazine.
That is awesome. Yeah, it is much needed. And right there, that wasn't really mentioned before. It wasn't really given the profile that, you know, you might want, or other local teams, other game soccer stories that get overlooked. This Mega Derby is great for this. And I mentioned too, I mentioned on Twitter how we had a pickup game afterwards, the day after. And I gotta say, Ben, playing soccer, that was my first game in about a year. I'm playing in running shoes. And dude, when the adrenaline wore off, my big toes on both of my feet have been hurting for the past 24 hours. My feet are killing me, my guy.
Yeah, well, if I'd known that you were coming in running shoes and not even like athletic running shoes, but like almost dress running shoes, I have a pair of indoor cleats I could have brought you, and they would have been a bit better than that. But I thought you were half decent. Yeah, you scored on me when I was in net in the warm-ups. Yeah. I haven't been in net in several years, but unfortunately, we had a bit of Twitter banter going back and forth that I might dribble past you a couple of times, and we were put on the same team, so we didn't get that. But it was certainly exciting. When I was in net, you were a very reliable right back. So maybe not the Richard Lureyes of the world, but of course, Canada plays that 3-4-3 most of the time. So he's even farther up the pitch. But you did quite well on that right hand side and stay between your man and the goal, which is always the basis of defending in soccer.
I appreciate that, Ben. You know what? Hey, if John listened to this, you know, I've known John Herman for quite a few years. If John listened to this podcast, you know, if someone goes down, give me a call. You know, I can help you guys out in qualifying, get to Qatar. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I still think I might take a Tayshaun Buchanan on the right over an Avery Lewis McDougal, but you can definitely get in touch with John and see what he wants. Maybe he needs a guy to walk by and crash a press conference like Lucas Cavallini did yesterday.
That was incredible. Oh, my gosh. So anyways, those listening, Canada, USA, Nashville kicks off 8 p.m. Eastern time. Ben, thank you for doing the podcast. Before I let you go, I want to let you plug your social media, plug your content. Where can people find you on internet land?
Yes, the big land, the biggest country in the world, the internet land. You can find me at BenSteiner00 on Twitter, at Benny Steins, or at Snaps by Steiner on Instagram. A lot of soccer photos that I post on both those accounts. And then I'm also the managing editor of 49-sport.com. Which is Canada's largest outlet covering university sports. And university sports is back for the first time in over 600 days. So that's certainly exciting. I know I was up late last night writing about some women's soccer in U sports. So it's an exciting time in sports. We're coming up on a very exciting fall. So can't wait to get going. And of course, can't wait for this big match between Canada and the U.S. tonight in the CONCACAF octagonal.
Now, of course, I am very excited, as most of the country is. Ben, thanks for doing the podcast. We got to do it again sometime, sir.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.